stand by. Good day, and welcome to the IBM Hot Topics End of Year SVI Updates conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to today's speaker, Chris Follansbee. Go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Hi to everybody, and welcome to our final SVI Hot Topics call for the year. I don't remember how many of these we've done this year, but we thought it was important to go over some things that we've already talked about before, as well as talk about fourth quarter and year-end considerations. I understand that some of you all are having trouble accessing the charts. Got a couple of alternatives for you. If you haven't been able to open the presentation, you might try downloading the charts to your desktop prior to launching. The second alternative is we have several of the SMEs standing by, Greg Milani, Nick Busich, Mary Cotham, and Paul Principe, and they are all available to email those charts to you if you will send them an email asking for them. Just want to remind you as well that this call is being recorded, and we will have a replay posted, not a replay, we'll have an MP3 file posted on Monday on both the Partner World sites as well as the Enable Now site. So if there are folks in your firm who haven't had a chance to or didn't have a chance to join us today, or if you want to go back and listen to it, it will be posted. Going to page 2, you'll see the agenda items that we're going to cover today. I'm going to be speaking as well as Mary Cipriani, and we are going to try to get through these topics and allow time for questions at the end. So let's get moving. Chart number 3, the checkered flag recognition program. This is something I spoke with you all about in second quarter, or maybe it was third quarter. But anyway, it was announced for second half activity, and it was designed to recognize the outstanding achievements of our business partners in the second half of 2007 with SVI. There are quarterly awards, and there is a second half award. The quarterly awards are $5,000 awards, and they are presented to America's business partner firms based on achievement during the quarterly period for either the most revenue sold or the greatest number of transactions. This is actually posted on the SVI website. In case you haven't heard it, I just wanted to congratulate our third quarter winners, who are Prolific, Sirius, and Ascendant. Going to chart number 4, I want to remind you that fourth quarter awards are still up for grabs. Again, those are based on the most revenue sold from SVI or the greatest number of SVI transactions. In addition, there's the second half contest, which is a trip to Monte Carlo. There will only be one winning firm per geo, so one America's firm, and that's going to be based on the greatest amount of SVI revenue sold from 7/1 to 12/31. So please understand that you still have a chance to play in this contest. The only real criteria for participation is that you must have documented your SVI reinvestment activity in partner plan in order to be eligible to win either the quarterly or the second half awards. And for the grand prize contest, let me remind you that you must have a validated customer reference in the client reference database no later than December 31st of 2007. If you think you might be in the running for this contest and you would like for me to validate that you have a customer reference, if you would just send me a note and tell me what you think your reference is that you have published, I'll be happy to check that out so that we don't run into any last-minute snafus. Now I'm going to turn this over to Mary Cipriani to review some key reminders for fourth quarter.
Mary. Thank you, Chris. The first topic I'd like to review is a reminder of the submit date for payment request deadline and how that's affected by the expiration date of your opportunity. So if you look at slide 5, your submit date for payment request must be no more than 30 days prior to or 60 days after the sales order close date. But the submit date for payment request also needs to be prior to the opportunity's expiration date. So let's review some examples. We have a sales order that closed November 30th, and the opportunity has an expiration date of January 15th. Now, the partner might focus in error on thinking, I have 60 days to submit my payment request, and be thinking of January 29th as the last day that they can submit their payment request. But this opportunity has an expiration date of January 15th, so in fact, they only have about 45 days instead of the normal 60 that they're thinking of because of the expiration date. Now, the partner in this situation could also have submitted for payment request 30 days prior to the sales order date, you know, sometime between November 1st and November 30th. But again, keep in mind of how that expiration date can cut into the normal amount of time that you're thinking that you have for your submit date for payment request. Now, in the second example, we have a sales order that's closing at the end of this month on December 30th, but is actually expiring earlier than that on December 15th. Now, in this scenario, the partner will have to use the 30-day prior to sales order close date. They can't wait until after the sales order close date because the opportunity will already have expired by then. Now, if this particular partner hasn't already requested an extension, they should do that immediately and get a new expiration date. So we would change this to March 15th. The standard extension is always 3 months from the current expiration date. But if this partner has already gotten an extension and his new expiration date is December 15th, then they're going to have to use the 30-day prior to sales order close date as their window for when they submit their payment claim. So, you know, their submit date for payment request has to be sometime between December 1st and December 15th to meet both the submit date for payment request deadline and also be prior to the expiration date. Now, if this particular opportunity were to slip from December and not close until Q1 of 08, then what this partner should do is submit a new replacement opportunity record in the GPP tool, and that new record would then have an expiration date of September of 2008. Now, in the third example, let's say we have a sales order close date of December 27th, and the opportunity is expiring on December 30th. Now, that means this partner only has 3 days after the sales order close date to submit their payment request. You know, or again, of course, the partner could submit 30 days prior, sometime between November 27th and December 27th. Now, keep in mind that supporting sales documentation can be added to the attachments tab at any time, you know, other than a denied status. So if you have something that's closing this month, you can certainly start to attach your documentation now. You probably already have some emails and a proposal or a PowerPoint you've delivered to the customer. So go ahead and attach those now, and then the only thing you'll have left to do is the quantity configuration requirement, and, you know, you could probably easily attach a price quote within 3 days and submit it for payment. You know, I don't want to advocate submitting payment requests with no documentation attached, but if you're staring down an impending submit date for payment request or expiration deadline, then by all means, click the Submit for Payment button today and finish attaching your sales documentation tomorrow or the next day. It's very important that you don't miss that deadline. Now, also, please be aware of what time zone you're viewing when you're logged on to the GPP tool. For example, if you have an expiration date of December 30th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, that could be displaying in your view, depending on your settings, as December 31st at 7:59 a.m. GMT time. So, you know, in that scenario, your opportunity isn't expiring on the 31st, it's expiring on the 30th when you take that time zone conversion into consideration, you know, because 7:59 a.m. GMT time zone is actually 11:59 p.m. on the 30th. Now, also keep in mind passport end of quarter requirements. Check with your VAD regarding what is the last day that they can process a new passport order so that it counts as Q4 business. You know, don't count on your VAD being able to guarantee that they can process a sales order at, you know, 5:30 p.m. on December 31st. I believe the deadline is December 27th for most new passport transactions. So that means if you have a new passport contract closing this year and you don't yet have it registered in the GPP tool, you need to get your opportunity submitted and approved no later than Wednesday, December 12th. Now, we've also been asked by several partners if we're planning to repeat the Q3 promotion where we waive the 15-day requirement. And I want to assure you there is no discussion happening on that topic and no plans to offer that again. So keep in mind that the deadline for registering a new opportunity for a year-end close should be December 12th, and your opportunity must be submitted and approved a minimum of 15 days prior to the sales order close date. Let's go to the next slide. Now, if you'd like to submit an SVI expiration extension request, go to the SVI tab, click on Show, and then click on Request Expiration Extension on the drop-down menu. You see it highlighted here in red. Now, be aware that when you first create a request and save it, it'll be in draft status, and you have to click on the Submit button in order for that status to update from draft to pending. So it'll remain in draft unless and until you submit it, so don't miss that last critical step. We also recommend that on your main opportunity list view that you edit your column's displayed selections and add key fields such as expiration date and SVI expiration request. That'll allow you to immediately see in your list which opportunities have expiration dates that are approaching soon. And if the checkbox in the SVI expiration request field is missing, that might help you realize that perhaps you've left a request in draft status. Now, once we've processed your extension request, that checkbox will disappear, and you'll see an updated timestamp in the expiration date field. Now, you can review the educational materials that are posted to the Partner World GPP site, or you could listen to a replay of our conference call from September if you need more details and assistance on how to submit an extension request. So remember, once your opportunity expires, it can no longer be submitted for payment. So two key points to remember. We can approve a single, one-time, three-month extension request per opportunity. Your expiration extension request must be submitted prior to the opportunity expiration date. All right, let's go to slide number 7. Next, I'd like to review a couple of points regarding accounts that we didn't cover thoroughly in our September call. Also, there's a new account query quick reference card posted to the same site where you downloaded this PowerPoint deck, and it's also posted on the Partner World GPP Education website. Now, there's a number of different approaches and options for creating opportunities and saving various data in the GPP tool, but in simplest terms, if you're creating an opportunity for an account that you've previously used, then it's easier and there's fewer steps if you start on the Accounts tab. And if you're creating an opportunity for a brand new account, then you might find it's quicker to start on the Opportunities tab. Now, in this screenshot, you'll see that I clicked on the Main Accounts tab and then clicked on Show My BP Active Accounts. And this results in a list of accounts that I've used before. You can sort and query this list, and you can even export this view of your account data into a spreadsheet if you like. Now, if I want to create an opportunity, then the next thing I'll do is click on the blue hyperlink on the account name. And then notice on the bottom half of the page that I'll have three tabs. So the next thing I'll do is click on the Opportunities tab on the bottom half of the page, and then I'll click on New. So let's look at the next slide to see the resulting screen that's displayed. So note that this is the same data entry screen that you're probably accustomed to seeing when you're creating a new opportunity record, but you'll notice that it appears on the bottom half of the screen instead of the top. So you'll fill out the data fields here and then save and exit and continue as you normally would, and continue and follow all those steps in that SVI quick reference card to complete the data entry on all of the other tabs, such as attachments and contacts. Now, let's compare how it looks and the steps to take if instead you created an opportunity by starting on the Opportunity tab. Let's go to slide number 9. So if you're creating an opportunity for a brand new customer that you haven't previously used in GPP, then you'll want to start on the main Opportunity tab and click New. And then you're going to click what we call the control icon. It looks like a little box with a check in it. And you'll see that little control icon box next to the accounts field. A pop-up pick list screen will display that contains a list of accounts that you've previously used. Now, notice that when you get this initial pick list, this is the same list of customers that you saw if you had started on the accounts tab. So if you're creating a new opportunity at an existing account, you could either actually start here or from the accounts tab. But the key difference is that even though my list of previously used accounts appears here, notice that there's no sorting arrows, no searching, and the query button that you see here is not to query the account list that you see in front of you, but it's to launch and go query the IBM account database. Now, this might not be an issue for your firm if you only have one or two or three screens worth of customer account data, and you can simply scroll through a couple of screens to find the account that you desire. But some of you on this call have created hundreds of accounts, and so it makes it really cumbersome to try to scroll through this list where there's no sort arrow or searching capability. So if you have more than a few screens worth of accounts, you might prefer the interface and the search and sort capabilities that are present on that accounts tab instead of starting here on the opportunity tab. So once you've clicked on that account control icon and you see this pick account list, you have three options. You can either highlight and select one of the accounts that you've previously used that appears in the list here, or you can query for an IBM account, or you can create a new account. Now, if you're searching for an IBM account or creating a new account for the first time, you would either click the new or the query buttons that you see highlighted here in red, and the results are on the next screen. So let's go to slide number 10. So if you clicked on the query button on the previous screen, then the next thing you'll see is the pop-up on the left-hand of this side of this slide. And if you clicked the new button on the previous screen, then the next thing you'll see is the pop-up on the right-hand side of this slide. Now, personally, I've given feedback to our developers that the actual titles on these pop-up screens should be query account and new account rather than pick account, but I just want to point that out in case those titles confuse you. Now, if you query the IBM account database and you don't find a match to the account name and address that appears on their passport contract, then exit the query. It'll bring you back to the previous screen on slide 9, and then instead click New, and then you'll get to the new account data entry. Now, when you're querying the IBM database, be sure to use that asterisk as a wildcard, and you might want to do a couple of different searches. You know, for example, if you searched on ABC asterisk, that will only search for companies starting with ABC. And I would suggest instead that you search on asterisk ABC asterisk, so it includes names that contain ABC. You know, because maybe it's in the IBM database as the ABC company, and if your query is ABC asterisk, then it won't find the account called the ABC. Another tip when you're querying here is to leave the, there's certain fields that you should leave blank, the alt name and customer numbers. Those are not active on the query. So let's go on to slide 11 regarding sharing your opportunity data with IBM. Now, sharing your opportunity data by not selecting the restriction flags can help you work more closely with the IBM direct sales team. We've gotten a number of questions from partners who've not selected the restriction flags on their opportunities, but they're still getting questions from IBMers saying, I still can't see your record. So here's a couple of reasons why that might be happening. Now, the restriction flag settings is the method by which the partner controls whether or not their opportunity data will be visible to the IBM direct sales team. But there's other things that can affect the visibility. Even if you've selected restrictions, once you've closed the opportunity, either by updating it to sales stage 7 and submitted it for payment claim or sales stage 11, indicating that it was lost, once you've coded it as a 7 or 11, it will flow to CRM Siebel regardless of whether it was originally restricted. Now, is the decision date or bill date in the past? There are many opportunities that were originally created in 2006 that are still active, but the partners never updated the forecasted decision date or bill date. You know, for example, it might still be appearing in the system with the date of April of 2007. So when we started migrating data from GPP to CRM, you know, and you chose to share your data by not restricting them, but the date fields were in the past, then our data migration team just assumed it was bad old data, and we chose not to migrate those records. You know, we figured if it is a good opportunity, once you update the date and the revenue fields, that will allow it to flow to CRM Siebel at that time. So, you know, that could be a reason why an IBMer can't see your record. Now, remember the slide we just reviewed showing that you could either query the IBM account database or you could enter a new account? The GPP application and the CRM Siebel application are both querying the same IBM customer account database. So if you selected an account from the IBM list, then we already know how to flow that record and where to flow that information into the CRM Siebel application. But if you created an account record from scratch, we have a database migration team that first needs to manually establish the linkage or pointers from your account record in GPP to the right equivalent customer account record that will appear in CRM Siebel. And that's the difference in the GPP tool. If you go to the More Info tab, and you'll see Account versus Account for BP Incentive Fields, that's what that's all about. So we may first need to manually connect the dots between the two applications before your opportunity record can flow to CRM Siebel and then become visible to the IBMers. Now, another reason a record might not be visible to IBM might be due to the level of security clearance or the defaults that that IBMer has in their CRM Siebel profile. You know, for example, if an IBMer has set up a default query that says, only show me those opportunities where I'm listed on the sales team, the result of that default query will that it will never find a partner record. Now, we've also been getting calls from a lot of confused IBM direct reps who are wondering, you know, what are all these 1JF opportunities that I'm now seeing in my CRM reports? You can add an IBM channel rep to your opportunity record in the GPP tool, but you cannot yet add any IBM direct sales reps. Now, regardless of who you add or how many employees from your firm are listed on the sales team tab, when that opportunity flows to CRM Siebel, it is only the partner name that appears on the sales team tab in the CRM Siebel record. You know, so then we have direct IBMers saying, well, then can I get added to the sales team once it's in CRM Siebel? Or, you know, they want to edit the CRM record and they want to change the dollar amount or the sales stage. You know, they might be viewing your record as a duplicate to theirs, or, you know, they're having some kind of anxiety because their manager's asking them, you know, about forecasting data on this opportunity record that they're seeing in their pipeline. So first, any edits that an IBMer attempts to make to a partner record in CRM is a moot point because every time we have an overnight update workflow from GPP to CRM, the data in your SVI opportunity record in GPP will overwrite whatever changes they attempted to make to the record in CRM. And rest assured that any edits that they attempted to make in CRM do not flow back to GPP. So an IBM Direct rep cannot delete or edit the values of the fields in your GPP record. And even if they do manage to edit the record in CRM, it has no impact, and the data in your record will just revert back the values of whatever edits they attempted to make. Secondly, for forecasting discussions, and I'll ask the IBM channel reps listening in on this call to assist in stressing this point, IBM Direct sales managers should not be asking IBM Direct sales reps for forecasting data on a partner-owned record. The responsibility for those kinds of sales cadence and forecasting calls for partner-owned records lies with the IBM channel reps that report up through Denise Mackey's organization. So they really shouldn't be anxious or thinking that it's affecting their pipeline. Now, if you're working closely with those direct IBMers and participating in their forecast calls, we certainly encourage you to keep your GPP opportunity record up to date and accurate, but the IBM direct reps shouldn't be asking you to close or delete your records in GPP. You know, a lot of them just don't understand the GPP or SVI program or why they're seeing these records appear in their views. We've created some Q&A documents and posted information to some internal IBM websites to try to educate and explain the GPP to CRM linkages to the direct IBM audience. And we've distributed that information to the IBM channel reps on the call, and they can share that information with their direct peers who have questions. Now, eventually, hopefully by the end of Q4 of 2008, you'll have the ability to add IBM direct reps as well as channel reps, but that integration is a work in process. So some of you on the call are participating in the Partner World Lead Management Program, and you've already had your opportunity records migrated to GPP. So if you have an opportunity that came from IBM and you see it in GPP, it will appear as beginning with the number 2, a dash, and then 6 alphanumeric digits. So you'll be able to tell just looking at the opportunity number whether it's one that you created or whether it came from IBM. So once you've been migrated from PWLM, an IBMer, in fact, could create a record in CRM Siebel and then pass that opportunity record to you. You could then accept it in GPP and then use that same opportunity record number and submit it and further progress it for SVI or even BCC or the OM program. But a lot of you still have not been migrated from PWLM to GPP. Now, if that's the case, those IBMers will not be able to pass those leads to you. Now, we've also gotten calls from several partners wanting to know when their PWLM opportunities will be migrated, and I'm told that the next group of partners will be migrated in January, and you'll get an invitation email from the opportunity management team as they're rolling this out in phases across the country. Now, if you want to be part of that group in January to get your PWLM migrated to GPP, then what you should do is contact the GPP help desk and ask them to get you in touch with the PWLM operations team and get a copy of that invitation to the January migration. Let's take a look at slide number 12. So when you create an opportunity record, you'll choose your restriction flags at that time. This chart is from our March Hot Topics call, and you might want to listen again to that replay if you want more details on restriction flags, or you can always contact a member of the SVI team and discuss any particular concerns that you have. But, you know, just wanted to give you a couple of reminders. You're looking at that work in GPP and is restricted. Those are the two fields that you choose at opportunity creation time. You cannot go back and add restrictions once you've already allowed the opportunity to flow to CRM. So be sure to select it at initial opportunity creation time. Let's take a look at slide 13. Now, this is a summary grid of what restrictions you can select and what the results will be in the IBM CRM Siebel system. Now, I won't read all the details shown here, but you can review this for more information on the various settings and the results of those settings. And this grid is also in the online help, by the way. Let's take a look at slide 14. I wanted to remind you about a new feature that we introduced in the spring that allows you to enter your own business partner opportunity number. You can enter any alphanumeric value that is more meaningful to you than our system-generated 1JF-ABC123. You know, perhaps you want to enter a specific sales rep or manager's name, or maybe something like Western Region, or maybe notate whether a particular record is part of a co-marketing campaign, as I've done in this example. So enter here whatever you like that makes sense to you. It's a free-form alphanumeric field. The information is entered by clicking on the sales team control icon, and then you'll get to this team member's pop-up screen, and you'll enter your data or description in the BP opportunity number field and click on Save. And the data that you entered will appear in the opportunity header record in something called the BP opportunity number field. And you can also edit your columns displayed in that main opportunity list view to include this field. And you can use Query or Query Assistant to search and sort for whatever data you entered in this field. So as you're getting more and more opportunities to keep track of, it might be useful for you to enter some information here that makes sense to you that you can then sort and search on. Let's take a look at slide 15, and let's review how you can add your IBM channel rep to your opportunity record in GPP. Now, to add other GPP users to your sales team, you'll start by clicking on that sales team control icon on the header record and then click on New. Now, the first thing you'll see is a list of other people from your firm that you can add. If you click on New and then run a query for position that starts with IBM asterisk, that will allow you to find a list of IBM channel representatives, and then you can select your IBM channel rep from the list displayed. So keep in mind that only IBM channel reps will appear in this list. If your main IBM contact happens to be an IBM direct software sales rep or a brand specialist in the local office, their names will not appear on this list. Now, I've got a slide later in the deck regarding updating phones and emails, so we'll come back to that topic later. Now I'll turn the call over to Chris, and she can take you through the some of the remaining topics.
Thank you, Mary. I really appreciate you going into all the detail that you did on some of those topics that people really want to get nitty and gritty about. I'm going to be at a high level now and talk about the – I'm getting a really bad echo. I hope y'all can hear me. I'm going to talk about the SBI incentive that we announced on November 1st. We're calling it the Grow Your Business with IBM Software Year-End Incentive. And this is an opportunity for business partners to earn an additional 5% sell fee on new SBI opportunities that are associated with an existing eligible SBI opportunity. So what this means is you had to have an existing eligible opportunity approved prior to November 1st. You then recognize that there is an opportunity to sell additional brand family or brand family products that are associated with that first registration. So you submit an additional registration. Tell us in the comments that it's linked to the original opportunity. And then it has to meet all the other criteria for regular SBI. And if they close at the same time, the second opportunity qualifies for the additional selfie. We've seen a fair amount of activity on this. I will tell you that the one thing that we have seen where we have to go back to the partners and explain is that some partners are trying to re-register opportunities. If you register for Tivoli Storage in October and then you are trying to register a new opportunity with more Tivoli Storage and tying it to the first one, that doesn't qualify. We need a new brand family. So if you register for Tivoli Storage and now you want to register for another Tivoli brand family or WebSphere brand family and associate it with that first opportunity, that is what qualifies. I've got the full set of rules posted in the backup charts, and I would ask you to refer to those, or if you have questions, feel free to contact me after the call. It's important to recognize this is a fourth quarter incentive only. All of these opportunities must close by December 31st in order to qualify. And if you are one of those partners that has firms in other parts of the world, please know that this is a North American incentive only. They're not doing it in EMEA, and so don't get confused by thinking that it should be happening over there as well. Okay, another really important topic for year-end is the enrollment certification requirements. As a reminder, we will be doing the annual SBI enrollment certification check on January 1st. Let's review what the certification requirements are again in order to enroll and then stay in as of January 1st. That is that you must have a minimum of 3 accepted Partner World software certifications, and at least 2 of those must be technical. We only count certifications in the 5 power brands, and we are a little bit more flexible than Partner World in that we will accept 3 certifications from one person. We will accept the same certification from 2 different people. You just have to have 2 technical certifications associated with your firm in a software power brand, and the 3rd certification can be either technical or sales. Also for SBI, we will count the completion of a technical sales mastery test the same as a software technical cert, which is a little bit different from Partner World. Remember that an employee can only have certifications counted in one business partner company profile. So if you've lost an employee this year who was holding an important certification for you and they've gone to work somewhere else, they are going to disappear from your profile, so you need to have a backup plan to get that certification replaced. And also remember that certifications are required by business partner, by country, because SBI enrollment is by country. On the next chart, I've got a list of, I've got the link to the currently accepted software certifications for your reference, so you can go in and see all of the certifications that we accept. Going to chart 19, this is a link to the Sales Mastery and Technical Sales Mastery Test. Again, you can see what qualifies under these mastery tests and what you could possibly count as a technical cert. This is the quickest and easiest way, I understand, to get a technical cert, so if you're lacking that right now, please check this site out and get your employees to take those technical sales mastery tests. You can review your certifications in your in the Partner World profiling system by going to the website that is listed on chart 20. I believe your authorized program administrator has to do that. And channel reps can also view their partners' current certifications. I get calls often from partners and from channel reps saying, can you tell me what certs my partner has? I cannot actually see the certs that a partner has at the detail level, but this allows you to see it. What I can see is shown on the next page, and that is I can review the certifications in your GPP profile, and you can as well, and this chart shows you how to do that. But that only will show me that you have a Lotus, that you are certified in Lotus, and therefore you can register a Lotus product. Okay, on to our next topic, chart 22. With fourth quarter closing, I know that a lot of you are going to be submitting a large number of SBI opportunities for payment. And we really do understand that payment submissions can be challenging. So I tried to put a little humor here. I wanted to take this opportunity to explain how you can help to expedite the payment process. It is really not as bad as indicated in this cartoon. Okay, moving to chart 23. Prior to submitting for your payment request, I want to remind you that you want to update the fields to help speed up processing. You need to update the revenue, because remember, we are only going to pay what you register with a 25% uplift and no more. So be sure you get an accurate reflection of the revenue. And on the SBI header record, if you could put the passport contract number, the fulfilling partner if it was not you, the invoice date if you know it, and any comments you might have. For example, if you have the sales order number, or if it was a VAP transaction, it would be very helpful for us to know that up front. And it helps us to match up to the sales opportunity more quickly. The one thing that we have talked about since the inception of the program is the supporting sales documentation. As we have talked several times this year, we have tried to simplify the sales documentation process, and it boils down to three key audit points. These are things that you have all seen before. I'm just putting this up here as a reminder. We are looking for a product registration, a product recommendation. We're looking for examples, multiple examples, of two-way communication, and we're looking for something that shows quantity and configuration. Again, if you did register the opportunity in SBI and you fulfilled with a VAP solution, we don't require any additional sales documentation to be attached. This is a huge time saver for you and for us, so it's all, let me put in a plug for VAP right now. One other thing that I'd like to remind you is that sometimes we get opportunities submitted that have like 40 documents attached. We really aren't looking for 40 documents. We are just looking for enough documentation to meet the requirements that are outlined here: a product recommendation, a two-way communication, and quantity config. We would really appreciate it, and it would really help speed up the payment process if, when you're attaching your documents in the comment field, if you put a document in there and it's a proposal, you can put as your comment product recommendation. If you're attaching email strings, put two-way communication. This allows us to quickly hone in on what you think is the appropriate supporting sales documentation, and it will speed up our review immensely. Please don't just attach everything but the kitchen sink and expect us to start sifting through it, because it takes forever, and that opportunity will most likely get pushed to the bottom of any of our list. Let me just clarify one thing on the VAP documentation. An opportunity to be eligible for no sales documentation with VAP, it must be your VAP solution that you sold, not that you registered an opportunity and somebody else fulfilled with VAP. If that's the case, you can still claim SBI, but you have to give us the regular documentation. Chart 25 is just a recap. This is our documentation checklist. It's actually found in the SBI operations guide. But if you, as an SBI administrator or as a business partner salesperson, if you can check off the questions on this list prior to submitting for payment, you have a really good chance of us being able to approve this first time through. So take a good look. Does the material document a clear recommendation for the use or purchase of eligible IBM software products? When I say a clear recommendation, we are looking to see that you are addressing the business problem with a software solution, that you are making a clear recommendation for IBM products. Does it show multiple two-way communications for this opportunity? Does it outline the sizing of the opportunity? Does it show that the business partner authored the material? And most importantly, are all documents dated, and are they dated prior to the sales order date? The next chart, we're just reminding you about the GPP and SBI education that's available. I know that there's a large number of opportunities for fourth quarter, and you may need extra help in working with SBI, or there may be turnover in your firm. Let me remind you that this online training is available in GPP. We're finding that a lot of people still don't know this is there because we didn't have anything like this when the program began. But there is a really good training portal out there now. You can access that by going to the SBI homepage and clicking on the Learn tab. That will take you directly to this site. What you need to do is key in your preferred language, which I'm assuming is English, and your role. Typically, it's going to be SBI sales rep. If you are an administrator and you need to look into administrative functions, there's also that role listed. So just want to remind you that this website is out there. It includes simulations, the account search quick reference card, which Mary referenced earlier in the call, can be found there, as well as the SBI quick reference guide. Both of those attachments are included in today's presentation because we wanted to be sure that you all had those. But if you don't want to keep those in your mail file, you can always get to it through this site. It includes the Business Partner Administration Guide as well as the Business Partner Administration Quick Reference Guide. I would highly encourage anybody who's using SBI for the first time or GPP for the first time to go through the simulations prior to starting to enter an opportunity. This will step you through exactly what you need to do and can help you with your first real live entry. To access online help, you can click on Help in the upper right-hand corner of any of the screens, and we recommend that new users review the sections on understanding the user interface. These are the things that are in red, and the GPP navigation elements. Also note that the update bulletin in the upper left navigation contains the most recent updates to online help and education. We found that it was easier to put it here than to republish the guide every time. So if you want to just go see if you've missed anything, that's a good place to go look. GPP, frequently asked questions, where to go. I included this chart today because we have been in touch on a regular basis with the help desk, and we're trying to evaluate the types of questions that are coming in and that Manage Now tickets are being opened for. So we want you to be able to direct your questions to the appropriate resource and hopefully get an answer in a very timely manner. If you've got questions regarding SBI program rules and requirements, the types of things that we talk about often on these calls, or questions regarding a specific opportunity, you really should direct those to the SBI program manager that covers that territory. If you've got a question about the eligibility, maybe you're questioning the eligibility decision that was made, you're wondering where payment is, or you wonder, is this documentation going to suffice, and you'd like to talk to somebody about it before you submit it, you need to be talking to an SME. At the back of this presentation, we have an updated SME coverage chart. We typically cover opportunities by geography. So if you have an opportunity that's going to close in Texas, then you need to be talking to Mary Cotham, and this is all outlined on that chart. I would encourage you to contact those SMEs when you've got these types of questions rather than going to the help desk. The types of questions that should go to the help desk are GPP tool questions. How do you create, update, submit an opportunity record? I'm having a system issue. I can't get on. Response time is really bad. Those types of things. We would also encourage the APAs to contact the help desk if you need to make changes in your user profiles. For example, there's a lot of movement we know among business partners, and if you need to take somebody off of a sales team because they're no longer an employee of your firm, you should talk to the help desk about how to do that and how to add somebody else as the primary. One very important thing, and that's the second from last bullet here, Do not delete a sales team member until you have replaced that sales team member with a new primary contact. We have found that if you do that, that you no longer have visibility to that opportunity. It doesn't disappear, but you can't see it, so for all practical purposes, it's gone. Mary is now going to talk to you about updating your email and phone number. And Mary, I would ask that you keep your comments as brief as possible so that we do have time to go into questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. A number of calls to the GPP help desk have to do with adding users to access GPP or signing job roles. And, you know, how do I make updates to contact information? So I wanted to show you a couple of slides here. Now, if you go to your sales team tab, that's where you'll see a particular user having the primary flag. And that is the person who's going to get the emails regarding the opportunity record, as well emails from us as the subject matter experts, but also the automated system-generated emails are sent to that primary person. Now, if the email is blank or incorrect or the phone number's missing, then we need to know who to contact. Now, the bottom half of this slide is something that your APA is going to view. Now, the administration tab to the far right there that's highlighted in red, that's something that will only appear on the desktop of the person who's designated as the APA. So what the APA will need to do is click on this administration tab and then click on Show Organization Explorer and then click on the twisty under Users to see the list of people from your organization, and then you can highlight a particular person's name, and then the detail of that person will appear on the right side of the screen. Now, the authorized profile administrator needs to use that button that says PPS Query, that's Partner World Profile System Query, to find the people from your firm who have a valid PPS ID and password so that they can be added to the GPP tool by the APA and then assigned a job role. And the APA will assign different job roles or these position codes that will determine what type of user access they'll have. You know, for example, a rep or a manager, and that determines whether or not they can see all opportunities from your firm or just the opportunities that they create or just opportunities that they're on the sales team for. So, you know, again, those kinds of visibility issues, this is where you would make the edits. An APA can also make somebody else an APA, so there's no limit to how many people from your firm can be an authorized profile administrator. But what we think is happening is that the APA gets to this screen and notices that the email and phone number fields are editable, and they make the changes here, and they think they're all set. And if the data that you see displayed here is wrong, you know, you could, in fact, make changes, but understand that these changes are temporary. The source of the name and phone number and email data is your profile in the Partner World profile system. So what the user needs to do is actually log on to ibm.com/partnerworld/partnertools and make your final updates to email and phone number changes there, and it's the data in the Partner World profile system that's going to overwrite whatever you've entered or edited here, so you have to make sure that it's correct at the source. And you know, and as Chris mentioned earlier, if you have an employee who's left your firm, it's very important that you deactivate them. Don't click on that delete button there. And again, be sure to call the GPP help desk for assistance. They'll be happy to walk you through these types of administrative tasks to update your profile. You know, another suggestion is that you set up a generic employee, you know, a first name of SVI, a last name of administrator, and an email of svi@partner.com, you know, and that way it's not affected by employee turnover. You know, the emails would always get sent to that generic address, and then internally you could route it to a different person. So a couple of ideas of how to manage updating your email and phone number information. Slide 31 just has a few more links for your reference of where to find some additional information. And as Chris mentioned, slide 32 has the SVI subject matter expert coverage map, and that shows all the emails and phone numbers for the whole team. And slides 35 through 36 have some additional backup information on the Grow Your Business cross-sell incentive program. But let's now open it up for questions from our partners.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the digit 1. If you are on a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And our first question we'll hear from Jeff Watson with Watson SCS.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, and thank you for your time. I'm going out on medical leave, and I know you just covered adding other people to administer the GPP tool. I've been through it, and I get funny messages. When I'm in the tool and I click on my users, it's empty, and so when I click on the PPS query, I don't get anything but an error in red. Is this something I should call the help desk on to have them walk me through? Or?
Oh, absolutely. They'll be more than happy to assist you in trying to determine what the cause is of not seeing complete listings in your profile. So call 800-IBM-9990.
Gotcha.
Ask for the GPP help desk and explain the problems and see what they can help you get resolved.
Okay, because I did it step by step as in the manual and through the help and stuff, so I guess that that's the next step. Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
And next we'll move on to Claire Robinson with Infin Networking. Working.
Yes, my thing is just simple. I can't get from the link a .dot template for the new BANT file. It is telling me the website is not available or bad or something. I was able to download the presentation, so if somehow we can get the BANT template in template form, whatever the new one is, somewhere, that would be great.
Claire, thanks for that comment. I don't know if you were in on the beginning of the call, but I did mention that we're having some problems with that. They are still working with that, and hopefully those attachments will be posted by the time the replay is ready. But if you would like to send an email to any of us, you can send it to me, cfallon@us.ibm.com. I'm happy to shoot that to you.
Thanks.
Sure.
And we'll move on to Joe Syak with Alpine Consulting.
Hi, this is Stan Duda with Alpine, actually.
Hi, Stan.
Just a quick question. It seems, you know, you referenced earlier that you've changed the guidelines such that a single individual could, in fact, have multiple certifications which would qualify. You know, one of the values that the SBI program has been sold, at least to the business partner community from the beginning, is that it's going to eliminate more or less fulfillment-type partners, and this is really a means for us to invest and be rewarded. That value seems to be a bit diminished, and we're going to face competition once again by allowing in an exorbitant number of partners potentially. What was the logic in changing the certification requirements?
And you'll be happy to know that this is not a change. This has been the way it's been since the beginning of the program. We don't advise that you have one person that has all of your certifications, because if something happens to that person, then there go your certifications. But what I was trying to point out was that the SBI certification requirements are a little bit more flexible than the partner world certifications, in that you can have one person with multiple certifications, or you can have multiple people with the same certification. We're just not exactly like partner world, but we still require that those certifications be in place. So there was no change. It just may be something you were not aware of previously.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And next we'll move on to Tanya Osol with Ascendant Technology.
Hi, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. My question is actually potentially multifold. First of all, how often do you, I guess, reference the expiration dates of the opportunity and then update their status in SBI?
My other phone is ringing and you cut out on me, but I think you said how often do we look for expiration extensions?
Well, I'm wondering if basically they're automatically processed to expire just because I happened to be an SVI during this presentation and there was an opportunity that we had that was set to expire December 1st,
mm-hmm.
but it hadn't been denoted as expired yet,
mm-hmm.
and I know that I hadn't submitted an extension request, so
mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, is there like a window after they expire before they're denoted as expired, or
okay. how does that work? I wish I could tell you that it happens automatically. Unfortunately, expiring opportunities is still a manual process. We have one person right now who is expiring those opportunities, and she does it as she gets to it. Typically, she tries to get to it as soon after the expiration date as possible. However, we can see the expiration date, and so we know when we're doing duplicate checks that even if it still says eligible, it's not eligible, that it really is expired. So if you have an opportunity that's about to expire, you need to be sure to ask for your extension prior to that expiration date or to submit for payment prior to that expiration date because it will not be accepted after the expiration date.
Okay.
You said you had other questions. Is there more parts to that?
No, that's basically what I wanted to find out. Thank
okay.
you.
I wish it was an automatic thing. It just went away, but right now we have a person who's actually doing that.
Okay, great, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll move on to Debbie Gupta with Prolifics.
Debbie.
Hi, Chris. My question is when we're working jointly with an IBM rep on a deal, we run into certain reps at IBM or some reps at IBM that are a little bit concerned about whether or not either it's going to take any revenue away from the deal if SVI is involved or whether or not it penalizes anybody on the team. And we were wondering, and our understanding is that it doesn't do either of those things, but we wondered if there was some documentation even on W-3 that we could point them to let them get a little bit reassured.
You are absolutely right. It does not. SVI is an expense program. It does not affect the commissions at all. I don't know if there's anything on W-3, but you're welcome to have them call me.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we do have a number of those URLs, and we can just send them to whatever IBMers have questions, and it pretty much goes into a lot of detail about the flow of the opportunities.
Thank you. And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, star 1. Next, we'll move to Andy Heller with MH Tech.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, Andy. Thank you.
My question is around the two-way communication. And I did come in late, so I may have missed what you had said about this, but I do a lot of my work via the phone. So how do we prove phone calls?
Now, it's kind of tough to prove phone calls. What we're asking you to do is kind of put a process in place where you can document your phone calls, document what you talked about on your phone calls via an email trail. I know it's kind of a pain sometimes, but I will tell you we've had multiple business partners come back to us and say, you know, having these requirements the way they are has really helped us to, strengthen the communication that we had with the partners and be more with the customers. And be more consistent in how we're dealing with them. I realize it may be just a little bit difficult to get into that mode of thinking, but it is an audit requirement. We do need something that indicates you had two-way communications. So I would just suggest a follow-up email to your phone call.
Okay, but what if they don't respond to that?
Well, put a question at the end.
Well, and if anyone on the call has specific questions about a specific opportunity or document, you know, we can address that, you know, one-on-one after the call. Just, you know, call the SVI program manager and we'll discuss it with you. But, you know, we don't want to, have you share your documents with everyone else on the line.
I think what we're trying to do here is just talk about a best practices and how he can handle that.
Should I just type up notes of the phone call if that's all I've really got?
Well, notes of the phone call don't really count because it doesn't really indicate that the customer I mean, there's nothing coming back from the customer. We need something from the customer that shows there was communication going on between the two of you.
As Mary says, we're happy to brainstorm with you one-on-one if you'd like to give a call to any one of us. But it is a requirement, and we do need to have it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, Rochelle?
Yes, we do have one question remaining. We'll take from Joy Brott with Foresight Solutions.
Yes, this is going back to the section where Mary Cipriani was talking about working with IBM direct reps. I had a situation recently where I've been working with an IBM direct rep on a software opportunity, and she was really struggling with how to add my company to the Siebel record, and we sort of went around and around. Mary had mentioned that there were some documentation available internally to IBMers. If I run into that situation again, where do I point that IBM direct rep so that she can get the help she needs so she can get me added to the Siebel record so I can then resubmit the opportunity for SVI review?
No problem. I can send that IBMer the intranet URL. You know, for that matter, I could give you the intranet URL. You won't be able to access it, but you could certainly forward it to the IBMer.
Okay.
I also have a brief three-page PowerPoint deck that we've been sharing with partners that talk about the duplicate search process, and it shows the screens in CRM Siebel and what the data needs to look like on those screens. And that's something that you can forward and share with IBMers. So, and my peers all have the same info, so just contact one of us and we can get that to anyone on the call and you can share that with those direct IBMers.
Great. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.
No problem.
And there are no further questions.
Thank you all very much for your time today. We wish you the best of luck in closing out the year and hope that due to a successful year-end, we'll see lots of SBI opportunities being submitted for payment in the January-February timeframe. Again, I will repeat, if you've got specific opportunity questions or program questions, please feel free to contact any of the SBI SMEs. We are the best source to help you with those, and we will be happy to do so. So, again, thanks for your time, and have a good close to the year.
And that will conclude today's call. We thank you for your participation.